Why don't we bring in our good pal, co-host of Overdrive, Jamie Noodles McLennan, TSN hockey analyst. Noodles, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing today?
I think we're doing pretty good, pretty good. We finally have a champion in the NHL. We were just coming in talking about the Nazem Kadri comments post-game. What'd you think of those comments? And do you think that his reputation of being a playoff liability has kind of been put to bed after this run?
Well, I mean, 3 out of 4 times. I mean, think about it. This guy got suspended 3 playoffs in a row. So, like, he's like, oh, put to bed. Actually, bud, you put it to bed by not getting suspended. Like, well, that's the thing. I was laughing last night. He's like, oh, you know, all the doubters. It's not the doubters. You were the guy who got suspended. We weren't. Like, I was laughing about it because, hey, listen, he had an amazing season, start to finish. This guy, you know, stepped up when McKinnon was hurt. He played first line minutes. He's going to get paid an unrestricted free agency. He's the type of player you want on your team that'll battle through injury, play hard. You know, you got to reel him back in instead of, you know, trying to cattle prod him to get energy out of him. You respect all of that. But I was laughing last night. He's like, all the doubters. There were doubters. People were just saying, dude, you did it again. And then when you got to Colorado, you did it too. Even worse, yeah. You got 8 games against Falk. So, I like, Captain Obvious is like, no, you're the guy who did it. We weren't doubting it. We were just pointing out the facts. It's like, you got suspended with the exact same play, back-to-back playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So all the people defending him, great, go ahead and defend him. Go back on your Twitter timeline for people who like to chirp on a daily basis and look at what you had to say about Kadri in the moment during those times, because I think that's where he was. It may have been a bigger shot at the management for not believing in him, all of that type of stuff. Yeah. I believe what you guys said. Listen, he woke up a champion today. Good on him. He deserved it. The guy was an absolute warrior and was fantastic in these playoffs. And you know what? He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and, you know, everybody who didn't. I just thought it was funny. What was the exact quote? Like, anybody who thought I was a liability. You were a liability. Yeah. You flat out got suspended. Like, you weren't a guy that dangled on the far blue line and gave the puck away. You weren't Alex Galchenyuk type of liability as far as turnovers. You were a guy who was not available to your team 3 playoffs in a row. So that's kind of the only thing I was laughing about, because I'm like, you know, O-Dog called it the other day. He said, you knew there was going to be some form of a shot. But, you know, I think it was more on the higher level shot at, hey, the organization that traded him didn't believe in him to get it done. Well, he got it done. He didn't get suspended this playoff. If anything, he kind of found another level of legacy for himself. So I'm happy for him today. But I did get a chuckle out of that, because that's Naz's. I don't know him personally. I've met him several times, but, you know, I don't claim to know him on a friendly level. Frankie, you would know him. He seems like a funny guy, you know, kind of a lighthearted guy. So, you know, that seems to be his personality. So, you know what? Yeah. You can chirp while you're on top.
And Jamie, I think you're onto something there too, because if you ever read his piece in the Players Tribune when he got traded, he mentions that the phone call with Kyle Dubas after he got traded was just very brief. Naz, we've traded you to Colorado. Good luck. And that was it. So, you know, that probably hangs in the back of his head a little bit, especially for how long he was here and you know, what he put into his time with the team and the community and all that stuff, right? So, we don't need to, you know, bang this drum for too long. There's so much to talk about with this series and what happened. And, you know, obviously the Avalanche and the reign of the Tampa Bay Lightning, they were the first team to beat them in a series is over 1,100 days. Like, how much more do you think it means for them to knock off the back-to-back champs?
I think it's so special on so many different levels. You're right. Like, so we pivot from the Nazem Kadri story because it is special for him. And I think there's a lot of people that woke up happy for Naz. But then you take a look at, you know, Nathan McKinnon, and it resonated. I've said this before, his comments last year in the playoffs were the most profound comments. Usually it's a lot of lip service. Everyone's like, yeah, we failed, we came up short, but we're going to go get him. This guy was raw and just said, I haven't accomplished you-know-what in 9 years in this league. You know, and That's what I think was so significant, is here's a guy who played so hard, almost to the point where I think if you broke down his game, there were times where he's coming out of his skin. Like early on in that game last night, I think he was too revved up. If you look at the first goal, he was, you know, trying to put Kucherov into the 12th row instead of focusing on the puck. And then he ended up, I thought he dominated the game last night. That was a statement game by a statement player. I think it was so amazing that Colorado was able to kind of, you know, I don't think it was David and Goliath, because if you'd look at Colorado, right from day one, there were people saying, this is the team to beat. And Tampa, it was more, are they tired? All of that type of narrative. I'll say Tampa deserves a lot of respect, too, because I would love to see what the injury list is going to come out with that group, because it sounds like it was quite significant. If you heard the comments of Cooper and heard the comments of Patty Maroon last night, he said you're going to be shocked to hear some of the injuries that the guys were battling through.
Yeah, I think it was Cooper that said probably would have been starting half of a minor league lineup if this were the regular season. So yeah, I'm sure there was plenty of banged up guys, and we saw it happen throughout the entire playoff series. But you know, we're not gonna use that as an excuse. Not like they are as well, right? The Colorado was the better team. They really were. And I mean, the guy who comes home with the Conn Smythe Award, Cale Makar, unbelievable playoff performance. And Nuno's, at the beginning of the series, the conversation was had, like, is this like a chance for Makar to take the torch from Victor Hedman as the greatest, you know, the best defenseman in the league? And weren't sure if that should have a period, a question mark. So what do you think now? You think that there should be a period on that? Is there still a question mark, some ellipses? Where do you feel, or how are you leaning on the Makar versus Hedman debate after the Stanley Cup final?
I think it's just, we see greatness. Makar's 23. Like, I keep thinking about Frankie, like, when did you feel like, you know, you had arrived as a guy where you've kind of understood your game, understood the league a little bit? Like, it's
hard, Jamie. It's hard because you need a lot of things to go right for you, and you need patience. Like, most players need some patience. For him to be doing what he's doing at 23, he arrived right on the scene. He was ready to rock. He didn't need that. You know the old saying, we don't know what a defenseman is until he plays 200 games. Like, he's like, right. I don't need 200 games. Like, this is what I am, and I'm just going to keep getting better.
That's what I keep
saying.
Right? But that's the thing. Like, since the moment this guy has played in the National Hockey League, he's a point-of-game guy. Like, and then has continued that on in the playoffs at the highest level. I still maintain, and I don't know how he can get better, but it's more maintaining that level of play and then knowing what the league's all about and being able to push your limits. That when I see veteran guys, like Victor Hedman knows exactly how to play in every situation because he's seen it. So he can extend his shifts. He can jump into the play. He'll stay back because he reads all the situations. When Makar has been through the ringer a couple different times through the league, I don't want to say there's another level. It's just experience is going to be able to keep his dominance there. So, you know, for me, I think because of Yossi and his situation and them bowing out earlier, I look at Yossi, I look at Hedman, I look at Makar. I think the league is in great hands, and there's different stages of it, right? The Hedman is 31, coming 32. Yossi, I believe, is late 20s, and then Makar at 23. And then you sprinkle in all the other greats, Adam Fox, and, you know, I'm missing a few, I know, but the league is in great hands, and I think Makar is in that conversation of, you know, a dominant superstar. And I know this is a TSN manufactured thing, but like when you're looking at top five players, so if you go do your top, let's do your top 10 players of the list next year. You know, obviously McDavid, Matthews, who wins the Hart, and the Ted Lindsay. But where's Makar? Where's Vasilevsky fit for you? Where, you know, some of these statements.
Right, because we think about forwards, right? We think about forwards and we think about the guys who are scoring the pretty, well, Makar's scoring the pretty goals too, but we always think of like the Dreisaitl and then, you know, this year, Johnny Gaudreau, big reemergence again, Jonathan Huberdeau. So the list goes on, but at what point in your top 10, your top 5, are you throwing a defenseman and a goaltender in there? And it's a good point because if you don't have that defenseman, if you don't have that goaltender, you're not getting that far in the playoffs. Just ask the other teams that lost along the way.
Exactly. And I still think, like, Vasilevsky is ridiculous. Watching him play, it just, it takes a unique shot. It takes, you know, a special play to beat him almost nightly. And, you know, I know he had the 7-0 loss and, you know, he had some bumps in the road early on against the Leafs and stuff. But, you know, there's a reason why he is called the best player on the planet, or I'm sorry, best goaltender on the planet. And that's with all due respect to Shesterkin, who actually got heart votes, who won the Vezina. Because Shesterkin, for me, is just a little bit smaller Vasilevsky, because they both have that type of skill. So I look at, you know, the overall arching playoffs this year. I thought they were fantastic. And I know it's disappointing here in Toronto to bail out again early on, but it's, I look at some of the storylines, working backwards, the Kadri playing with a broken hand, you know, the Draisaitl injury, McDavid finding another level, MacKinnon finally winning, you know, Tampa, Vasilevsky showing what he can do. It's just, I think there were some amazing storylines from the game of hockey this year, and I think that should be celebrated instead of the negative, the refs screwed this team and this happened here. There was some of that too, but overall,
it's not
there was
the playoffs
some great
without
hockey.
It.
No, but there were some great hockey, guys. Great hockey.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the other narratives I wanted to touch on with you, Jamie, is the goaltending situation. So you have Vasilevsky, who we just touched on, the best in the world, and beating him with Colorado is Darcy Kuemper. And so what does this do for teams now? Does this give teams who might not have a Vezina caliber, a true 60-start guy, you know, the big dog, the big cheese, if you don't have that guy, does that give you a little more hope that you can win the Stanley Cup without a guy like that now?
Yes, if you can do this, if you can give up one slot shot in a game 6 in the Stanley Cup Finals, because that's what Colorado gave up last night. One slot shot, and that was Steven Stamkos' goal early on. Now, the Kucherov one-timer on the back door, that would be deemed one, but he was a little bit wide on the play. But did you count how many chances, like quality chances, did you marked last night, even mentally in your brain, and be like, oh, that was a great save by Kuemper. It was not one
for me.
Play.
There's two or three. I think there's two
Kucherov,
or three.
The Kucherov one late with about 6 minutes left. Yeah. You talk a lot about timely saves, Noodles, and you know, I think that was it where I'm like, okay, I think the Avs are winning this game because you're going down on a 2-on-1 and Earth. It was like a 3-on-2 odd man rush, and Kucherov gets a one timer on net. Typically, that guy scores. And, you know, Kuemper allowed a bit of a shaky one in the first to Stamkos, but he was pretty solid the rest of the game, but didn't get tested all too much. And that was maybe the only test he got in the entire third period. That was a clinic that Colorado put on in the third. That was the timely one that you need to lock things down.
It is. And now that he's proven to the league that he's battle-tested, he's held up in probably the most pressurous situation. So, you know, Kuemper is an unrestricted free agent, has at least proven to a manager that he can play, you know, a lot of games, be a starter, a quality starter, and he's a cup champion. But that being said, if you are going to, you know, we'll call it, and this is so disrespectful for me to say, and I'm not trying to be, if you're going to go with average goaltending, even though Kuemper hasn't been, he's been better than that. If that's your mindset, then you better be able to defend. And that was an absolute clinic by a team. And Dave Poulin said last night that Colorado out-Tampa'd Tampa, because that's what Tampa did against the Toronto
100%.
Maple Leafs.
And the Rangers.
They packed everything down low, and they got in front of every single shot, and it didn't matter who it was. It was MacKinnon, it was Lehkonen, it was everyone doing their part. It looked like they, and I think that's the sign of a really good team too, Jamie, is the fact that you're playing against a team like Tampa, you're seeing what they're doing to you, and then you can make that adjustment to say, oh, okay, let's do what they're doing too, because they know how to hold down a third period lead. Let's do the same thing, and they did it to a T.
They did it, and all I could think about, whatever team you cheer for, whether it's Toronto, whether it's Vancouver, I mean, throughout the league, place your team in those situations, and the grind it was, and the parade down the tunnel, and coming back for all of these players, and say, does your team have that type of character, that type of players that would do it? Or would there be guys that go down the tunnel and are in their car on their way home in their suit because they're like, I can't hold up through, you know, Colorado played 20 games. They were 16-4. That was a battle. Tampa, same thing. I mean, they went through a war, and we talked about it earlier, the injuries. Nichushkin shows up with a sandal on. He's limping in. You heard Burakovsky just before I came on. He had a surgery on his thumb and on his hand in four different places, and he had a broken foot, and he was talking about playing in Game 7. Nazem Kadri surgery.
Kadri couldn't tie his skates. He couldn't tie. He had the trainer tie his skate because exactly. You can't do it without your thumb.
That's, even Nick Cugliano, too, had something on his ribs. Tarps off in the celebration, and he had something on his ribs. Nice little patchwork.
Yeah. But that comes back to, you know, I know that we all use analytics and certain different things to apply, analysis on players. Some of these intangibles can't, and that's will and drive and some of the things, the determination and courage to get in front of a shot when you know that Eric Chernak, I mean, he might be laying with a cold tub right now, that defenseman for Tampa, because that guy seemed to literally get hit with every puck, and then he was down the tunnel and back. I mean, that's the type of stuff that you can't quantify. So take a look at whatever team you cheer for and go, does our team have that type of players at critical moments that will go down the tunnel and come back and not go down the tunnel and go in their car and go home? And that'll be an interesting thing heading into next season.
In conversation with Jamie Noodles McLennan, co-host of Overdrive, and I mean, to talk a little bit about the other side, of the rink, the team that ended up losing, the dynasty. Well, dynasty could still be moving on, but the reign is over as the champs. I think today about a guy like Steven Stamkos, and that guy put everything on the line yesterday. He was out there blocking shots. He blew up Nate MacKinnon there at one point in the game, scored the goal. What can you say about it? Because this seemed like, this was his playoff. You think back to the previous three cup finals that team had been on. He wasn't necessarily the focal point, but this seemed like this was his turn, his time. He really evolved into a special player through these playoffs. What do you think his mindset's like today?
Well, he's frustrated. I'm sure he's sad. I watched his media last night. He was disappointed. The one thing I'll say, guys, is I don't think their window's closed.
Definitely not.
Stamkos is 32, Hedman's 31, Kucherov just turned 29, Vasilevsky's 27, Point's 25, Cirelli's in the 25, I think. You look at Hagel, they traded for on cost control. Like, do they have work to do as far as maybe filling some voids, the cap, all of that type of stuff? Absolutely. But that being said, the core of their team is in place, and now you just reshape around it. And that's what's interesting for me is I don't see this team going anywhere. Like they might get tired, and during the regular season we might have a conversation going, what's wrong with Tampa? What's wrong with this Vasilevsky guy? He's not stopping pucks, or Kucherov looks uninterested, or Stamkos only has this amount of goals, and all of that type of stuff. At some point the fatigue might catch up to them. But that core is not going anywhere, and they're under cost control. I think they're in great shape moving forward. It's just up to the manager, who's a really good general manager, Brisebois, to kind of reshape the group around that core. So I don't think Tampa is a team like, for example, Boston, that's kind of going to be in flux, where you got a bunch of question marks and injuries and stuff. I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned for, and they'll retool and be right back in the mix of things next year.
And to your point, Jamie, I have a feeling when we're all doing our preseason predictions come the fall time, there's going to be a lot of people who are saying, yep, Tampa's going to be in the finals again, because that's how strong the core is. And then hopefully you have everyone back healthy. You think about the guys that they didn't have playing. And, one guy who kind of sticks out, and it's, I have a certain level of sympathy for him, is Corey Perry. Third straight cup final loss. What's your sympathy level for a guy like Corey Perry right now?
A ton. I'm on the other side. I want that guy on my team. He's a pain in the ass to play against.
Yeah.
He is a pain in the ass to play against. And, you know what he's going to bring. Here's a guy that hit at his age, 36 years old. He's in the wars. He knows how to play every night. He's not the fastest guy, but boy, does he know where to be. He's on the first power play on a very, very good team, in front of the net. Handles the puck still elite for me. Yeah, I don't think he's been a burner in his career as far as speed, but he knows exactly how to play. It'd be interesting to see I think he's got another year on his deal. I think this gave him a 2-year deal. But he's a guy who's so valuable because, you know, at critical times and when the push is on, you want him on the ice because he doesn't panic. He plays in all situations. So I felt for him last night. It was sad to see. I think I was his boy and his wife. They were upset. And, hey, that's the emotion of it. Even watching Patty Maroon, who's won three cups in a row.
I know.
He's in tears. Yeah. Those guys play hard. Like, you know, I give them a lot of respect because you could tell that they were broken. But they also gave a shout out to Colorado and said, you know what, like those guys, good on them. They went to earn it. And even Steven Stamkos said, you know, we know how excited they are right now. We've been there and we came up short this year. And, you know, I would love to see if Tampa finds that as motivation to go, hey, we were this close and, you know, we're going to get back there next year. Again, lots of work, lots of things have to come into play, but even missing a guy like Braden Point, eventually that just caught up to them. You know, didn't have. And Cirelli, I felt so bad for him because that guy is such an amazing player. And you could tell he just was, he wasn't there physically and he wasn't able to be as effective as he wanted to be.
Well, I think he'll end up playing like a fraction of what he usually plays on a night. So you could tell he was gotten through it there with that, was a skate laceration he took in game. Yeah, oh, so that one was
tough.
Ugly. Yeah, Noodles, I'll let you go on this one here, but you know, it's Leafs lunch, so I gotta get a Leafy's question in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Toronto and Kyle Dubas, they look at Colorado's journey and the roster construction, they see enough similarities to give them confidence going into next season if they run it back, thinking maybe, you know, that could be us. Maybe next year we could get over the hump with this core, just like Colorado did. They kept going back to the well, and eventually, you know, they burst through that window. You think Toronto's thinking maybe this will be us next year?
I think there's always a layer of hope, but who is Cale Makar and Bowen Byram and Devon Toews?
That's the big difference.
Like,
eh?
Frankie, you can talk about that defensive core. Like, the scary part for me is this Bowen Byram's a player, and Gerard didn't even play. Like, I think they might have some currency, Colorado, winning the cup without Gerard. They might be, and he makes $5 million. You might be able to move him for a really good piece or some cap flexibility to retain one of the 10 free agents that you're letting go. So, yes, I think Sakic has set that roster up. They win, and then they've got flexibility to figure out McKinnon's extension, which it'll kick in a year from now. And then you figure out how you want to reshape around this core. But, yeah, it's hard, and I know it's a copycat league, and I read that this morning, some of the people talking about it on Twitter. How are you copying Cale Makar? You know, how are you? Like, no. Who's
Landeskog last night?
You're not. And if you try to, like, Jamie, if you think you have a Cale Makar and you're trying to copy that mold and say, okay, we're going to have this is our guy who's Makar, this is our guy who's Toews, like, you're fooling yourself.
No,
it's
got to be done.
You need to do it your own way.
Exactly.
You need to do it your own way. And if you look at the way Colorado did it, they did it with Makar, Toews, Byram. Okay, it's different than the way it's been done the last 2 years with Tampa, with the gargantuan humans they have on the blue line. So, yeah, it's a little different, but which one are you going to make work for your team? Well, you have to see who you have and how you can fit it. Like, and I don't know where the Leafs stand with that because they have the smaller guys like, you know, Riley. Okay, Riley's what, 6'1"? He's not the biggest guy. He's your puck mover. And then you have Muzzin and Brody, who are a little bigger. Muzzin has some physicality. Giordano's older, but you don't necessarily fit one or the other. So you need to find your own way of doing it if you're the Leafs.
And it's by committee. So I come back to, can you have the determination and play defense at critical times and defend a lead and only give up one slot shot in a game, you know, against the juggernaut, against Tampa that knew how to win, that didn't panic in any situation. It might come back to structural play as well, because you're right, you can't just, Cale Makar isn't available to anybody. You know, Nathan McKinnon, yes, you could say that's Austin Matthews, and Mitch Marner is, you know, Rantanen and all of that. You can do your matchups, and Tavares is Kadri, and you could have your matchups, but like, at the end of the day, Colorado's depth, you know, where's your JT Compher? That's what, Pierre Engvall?
Underrated player.
But Compher makes $3.5 million. You can't spend that on the bottom of your roster right now with the way that they're constructed here in Toronto. So there's a lot of different ways. You have to create your own path. I think there is hope out there, but it's not a template. You're going, hey, we're going with the Colorado template, because it just, you know, they don't have that type of scenario available to them just based on, you know, superstardom and the way that it's distributed through their lineup.
Yeah, well, we'll see if Toronto can try and get it done. I know Colorado, congrats to them. They're celebrating today. Hey, what type of fine you think Abe Kubel's getting for a little dent that he made in the Stanley Cup? I mean, I don't know if he's going to get like a legitimate fine, but I mean, the team must have been razzing him all night about that last night.
You know what? You'll take it. I think if anything, he's got to, you know, do a couple shots out of it or whatever. But I, you know, you've heard worse. I mean, the story of it getting dented at Vinny Pantera's house in Dallas when the Stars won the Cup. That was a legitimate. I think it was tossed from the second floor of a house. So, you know, you're not just accidentally slipping and falling on it. That was a legitimate. Like, hey, I'm gooned and I'm going to toss this from the second level. So, that cup has seen a lot worse, put it that way.
I'm sure it has. Noodles, appreciate taking the time, pal. Can't wait to hear what you got to say later on at 4 o'clock. We'll chat
4
then.
4 p.m.
Oh. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes. Jamie McLennan, co-host of Overdrive.